Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathleen O., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Friday, April 2nd, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 48, the first paragraph that begins with "The reader may still ask," and we'll be reading and commenting on this one paragraph only. Today's readers are Julie E.B., who will be reading the 12 steps, Carol F. will be reading the 12 traditions, and the readers of our text are Sherry K.B. and Betsy H. The share ID for Thursday, April 1st, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 16,687. That's 16687. This morning's Friday, April 2nd, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, share ID is 16,693. 16693. Our newcomer greeter for today is Lois P., and Robin P. will be making the announcements. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I'll now ask Julie E.B. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Julie.
Good morning. This is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs, Colorado. The 12 steps. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood God. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove these defects, all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood God, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you, Julie E.B. And Carol F., if you would read the 12 traditions for us, please.
Good morning. This is Carol F., compulsive overeater, food addict in recovery from Maryland. The 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all of these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to do service, and I pass.
And thank you so much, Carol F. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 48, the first paragraph that begins with "the reader may still ask," and we'll be reading and commenting on this one paragraph only. So good morning, Sherry KB, if you could get us started, please.
Good morning, Kathleen O. This is Sherry KB in Northern California, very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, and thank you for your service and be grateful to be a part of Team Friday. The reader may still ask why he should believe in a power greater than himself. We think there are good reasons. Let us have a look at some of them. You know, first of all, you know, this is a little paragraph, right? But it's really a big paragraph. And the history around this book is that it was very expensive to publish a book like this back in 1939. And so they had to do things in order to get points across. So I think when something is in italicized and it's in a small paragraph like that, it's like you need to pay attention to this, Sherry. So what I get out of this is that I need to know the reasons why it's so important that I believe in a power greater than myself. And when I look at my own personal reasons, it's because I look at the history, I look at the record of how I've been around this disease. And the reasons that I chose to do what I did were not good. And I have a built-in forgetter. I have a disease that keeps me broken if I don't believe in something greater than myself. I need to be restored to sanity. These are my reasons, and then we're going to hear about all these other reasons, but I went decades trying to do it my way, my self-will, and that is the voice of my disease. I tried to reason things out. I tried to reason with the disease. And there's an old saying that, you know, if you like to don't wrestle with the disease, because the disease will just win, you know, and that's what I tried to do. I thought I'd reason my disease out. And I couldn't. I never could have. When I look at my record, I was never able to do that. And I tolerated intolerable behavior of myself at the misery of my own hands by trying to do this disease, by trying to do it alone, by not accepting that I was a compulsive overeater. And, you know, for somebody like me who is a compulsive overeater, I had to say uncle. And I also had to, like, know that no human aid could relieve me of this disease, that only a power greater than myself could relieve me of this disease. And if I didn't believe in that power that could help me and travel that journey, that path to a higher power, my life has been in shambles because I wasn't doing that. So my reasons are that I have a disease that no human aid can relieve me of my compulsive overeating, and that only God could and would if I seek God. And so that's one of the reasons why I need to believe in a power greater than myself. And then I need to keep my mind open to growing into that power to make it, it's got to be bigger than any thoughts that I have, because it's got to be able to solve all my problems. And so, therefore, I've got to have something that I believe in that I can trust and feel safe with. And with that, I pass. Thanks, Kathleen.
Thank you, Sherry KB in California. Okay, we are on page 48, the first paragraph that begins with "the reader may still ask." Very short paragraph and powerful one. And although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others may share their experience too. So who would like to share on this paragraph?
Freya R.
Freya R.
Julie E.B.
Julie E.B.
Jody H.
Jody H.
Penny L.C.
Christina
Penny
J.
L.C. Christina J. Anyone else? Okay, we'll stop there. I have Freya R.
Marilyn K.
Marilyn K. Okay, I'll put you down here, Marilyn. So Freya R., Julie E.B., Jody H., Penny L.C., Christina J., and Marilyn K. Good morning,
Arlene
Freya. Go ahead,
B.
please. Okay, I'll get you on the end here, Arlene. Thank you. Good morning, Freya. Are you there? Star one to unmute.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now. Thanks.
Who are you calling? Are you calling
Is it
Arlene?
Freya?
Yeah,
no,
can you hear
no,
me? I'm
no.
sorry.
I'm looking for Freya. Is Freya there?
Hi, this is Freya. Can you hear me?
Okay, yes, I can hear you, Freya. And Arlene, I have you at the end, so we'll get to you. Okay, go ahead, Freya. Thank you so much.
So sorry, that star one thing. This is Freya R.
No worries.
In Southern California this morning, and I too don't usually get to share. I'm on spring break, so I just wanted to say hello. I hear so many of your voices regularly. I feel like we're friends. But for me, I grew up with a power greater than myself, and it was a very loving and authentic experience with God. And yet I never fully connected the bedevilments of the disease and eating to eating. So like for me, it was almost the bedevilments, the discontentment, the anger, the blame, you know, the lack of honesty, which I didn't even know I had actually until I started looking at dishonesty in this program. I thought I was quite honest, but those bedevilments connected to food, that's where the revelation has been for me, and my relationship with the God of my understanding has grown and deepened, and the freedom that's there in facing my bedevilments in connection with overeating has been astounding. And I've come close to it before, but this program, in a way that nothing else ever has done for decades, has done it. I think it's, you know, a lot of it's the steps, the 10th step particularly, and that emotional, you know, moment, taking care of it and looking again at the self-will and the bedevilments. So I just wanted to kind of state my reasons and say hello to everybody whose voice I hear. So thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Freya R. in California. Julie E.B., good morning. You're up, followed by Jody H.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered here in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Wow, yeah, a few paragraphs
What could that mean? For me, it is one of the biggest tricks of the Big Book that has given me so much joy and a life worth living. You know, many of you know, I was 300 pounds, bedbound, 6 medical specialists, dying at 42 years old. And today I am living, and stop in once a year for my yearly, and living in health with rebuilt relationships, challenges in my life, for sure. But the trick in this paragraph is there all throughout the book. The reader may still ask why he should believe in a power greater than self, but in this Big Book, what I've found is it's so great that even if I've let go of my obstinacy, sensitivity, unreasoning prejudice, these are all flawed ideas. I had to go down and list one by one, what are the flawed ideas keeping me from a greater reality? What am I obstinate towards, sensitive towards? What do I have prejudice? I thought all my ideas were working, and they were, except that I was dying. And so the reader may ask why, but you know what? The answer here is not going to be why, but how. And that's something that they do in this Big Book. I could spend my life worrying about why I need a power greater than me. But what they're going to answer is sort of why, but really it's how. And I love from another program that I'm in the 12 steps, there's a prayer that goes with the second step. And that prayer is, in this moment, I find that I am never alone. I have a new freedom. Believing is also an action. As I practice it, I develop faith. As I first started to put down the food with the help of everyone in these rooms, I began to take that action. I began to develop faith that there could be a life without that. As I began to trust in my sponsor, I began to believe there was a life where I could trust. As I began to ask what it would mean to rely on God instead of myself, or a higher power instead of myself, I began to believe the actions are what the how is really where they're going here. We're going to consider the why, but the why is really laid out as a how. If I can believe in my cell phone enough to dial in today and I don't know how it works, I can believe in a higher power. That's how for me. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Julie E.B. in Colorado. Jody H., good morning. You're up, followed by Penny L.C.
Yes, this is Jody H. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Maine. I said to myself, the reader may still. Well, they should still ask why he should believe in a power greater than himself. These steps of this program are built one on another, and the first step begins with the letters WE, W-E. This is a WE program from the very beginning of the 12 steps. We admitted we were powerless. Yes, we need power. How in the world? We've tried our own power. We've tried the diets. We've tried the acupuncture. We've tried all that we could do to try to get rid of the weight and to have a sane life. We need something outside of ourselves to help us. And this first three steps are so powerful. With step three saying, made a decision to give our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Lord, and I just want to encourage everyone in there. It seems like people will try to continue to do it on their own selves. This power that we need is not our own power. No matter how much willpower you have, this disease is cunning, baffling, and powerful. And I just want to encourage everybody out there in the sound of my voice to grab hold of that power that is greater than themselves. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Jody H. in Maine. And Penny L.C., you are up, followed by Christina J. Good morning, Penny.
Good morning, Kathleen. Thank you for your service, and thank you for being there, everyone on the line. This is Penny L.C., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. And what I want to also remind myself when I read this paragraph is that I can go back even before we were talking about a higher power and a power greater than myself and why I needed to believe, and remember that I was brought to this book in the first place by a desperation, by this disease that tore me down and broke me up and really was having its way with me. But in this book, what I had to understand at first was that I was powerless, absolutely powerless over this disease. When I start, I cannot stop. And when I stop, I cannot stay stopped. So, and then on top of that, separate from the disease, my life is unmanageable. So I'm kind of stuck. You know, I already realize I've got myself in a tough place, and yet this book and these authors are offering me a way out. So remembering that I needed to come from that place of desperation to a place of openness, of willingness to hear another way. And with that, I can come to this part of the process. I still need to be open and willing to consider new ways of thinking and being. And so, you know, with that, that's a lot of conviction right there. You know, I've been convinced that I'm powerless, my life's unmanageable. So, you know, gosh, where have I got to go but giving this a try? And that includes, you know, being willing to believe in a power greater than myself. Obviously, I haven't been able to do it under my own power. So I'm open and willing to listen to these reasons. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Penny L.C. And Christina J., you are up, followed by Marilyn K. Good morning, Christina.
Good morning. Thank you for your service. I'm going to try to remain calm today because I'm always over-anxious about sharing. And I've shared for a long time on the line, and I've been in here since 2014 in these vision rooms, but still, my heart pounds, and I've been on many stages all over the world in front of thousands of people, and still on this little meeting, my heart pounds. So I don't know, maybe it's God trying to say something through me. That's what I'd like to believe. The reader may still ask himself why he should believe. I didn't ask myself why I should believe. There may be people out there today that are asking themselves, well, I believe in a higher power. What's in between me and this belief that I have to be in this food and suffer like this and slowly dying in the food? Because it is a slow death, and it's a miserable, lonely, private hell to be in the food. For years, I didn't want to share it with anyone. It just was disgusting. I hid in big clothes on every stage I was on and every office I worked in. I was hiding in big clothes, suffering in the heat because I wouldn't put on clothes that would show my body. So ashamed of being fat and heavy and obese and gross. And I felt gross. And every time I'd go to my closet to try to put on clothes that I thought maybe should fit me, and they didn't. What am I going to wear today? I hid in the bathroom when my family came to visit and they were going to go somewhere, and I was in there trying to find some clothes I could go out to an event with them with, and I'd make some excuse that I felt sick and I couldn't go. I mean, it was just a horrible life. So what was the issue here? That I believed so strongly in a God that created this beautiful planet and these beautiful bodies we live in. And I was in awe constantly, but I just couldn't get the food right. I didn't have faith. I didn't take action towards, this is what I've learned in program, not outside of program. I didn't take action towards walking, surrendering towards this power with my life, with my food, with my character defects. I've just forged ahead as if I could handle it. And I didn't know I was doing that. That was what I was taught to do. I didn't tie the two pieces together. I didn't merge the God that I believed in that was so miraculous to me, that had given me many miracles in my life. I didn't merge him into my everyday activities. And I think that's what we're going to be learning here. The first step is believing in some power greater than yourself, just having a belief that there's something greater. Because you know what? The one thing that always brings me back to, oh, my God, I've got to believe in something, is the fact that it's a fact. We're all going to die someday. And I don't want to be morbid, but that's the truth. I don't want to be on my deathbed in this disease. I don't want to be in my deathbed and my character defects and my resentments. I want to be free, free to merge into whatever is out there. I don't know, but I just know that it's supposed to be great. It's supposed to be a wonderful place, better than this earth. So I don't want to die in this disease, and I want to merge. Well, I'll finish up. I want to merge into that glorious faith and that glorious place of peace that I get when I go to my higher power each morning and pray and meditate and ask for guidance in my day. So thank you for letting me share, and I'm available for outreach if anybody wants to find me on the member list, Christina J. from the state of Washington. God bless everyone.
Thanks so much, Christina J. in Washington. And Marilyn K., you are up, followed by Arlene B. Good morning, Marilyn.
Hello, I'm Marilyn K. from the state of Oregon, and thank you all for the service that you do for reading and organizing this meeting. It means a lot to me. When I read this morning, it brought me back to times that about 7 years ago when I would do most of my compulsive eating in the hours after dinner, in the evening hours, and I was just getting so frustrated by it and so feeling so powerless over it. I had this sense that I needed to go in my room and sit down and do spiritual reading. And when I sat there, I really felt the presence of a higher power there with me. And I really surrendered at that time. And since that time, I have not had any evening eating. And I know that is from my higher power. I believe I, at the point now, I have quite a few stresses in my life. And I want to each day, in the morning, I do real good surrendering over to God. And then by the time, probably an hour or so after that, I start running my life. And fortunately, I am still recovered from my compulsive eating, and I stay on my food plan. But sometimes my other parts of my life, I just want to run it myself. And so I thought it was a good idea for me to get on the line and make a commitment to each time I finish an activity to surrender to God my next activity. If I can do that maybe 5% of the time, I'd be ahead of where I'm at now, because I do believe I know God can direct my life if I surrender. And so I'm trying to surrender more and trust, just like he did 7 years ago, taking away the compulsion. I know that's possible for other people also, that God does take away the compulsion and the obsession, and also does a much better job with running my life than I have, than I can do myself. So thank you, everybody, for being here, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Marilyn Kay in Oregon. And Arlene, before I take you, I just want to remind everyone that we're on page 48 this morning, the first paragraph, The Reader May Still Ask. And I'll be taking some more names to share on that paragraph after Arlene. So good morning, Arlene. Go ahead, please.
Good morning. My name is Arlene from Los Angeles, California. And I have been fighting this disease in program for almost 50 years. And I'm so glad that I read that paragraph, because I am at the low emotionally, and I keep grasping on and getting it and then losing it. And, you know, I just prayed and prayed and prayed to have an abstinent day to day. And that paragraph is so powerful because, yes, it is a belief in a higher power, in my higher power, that can is the only thing that can really get me there. And I just feel like I'm fighting for my life today. And I'm glad this meeting is there, and I'm glad we're reading that paragraph, because I really need to hear that. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Arlene B. in California. And keep coming back here. Okay, we're on page 48, the first paragraph. The reader still may ask, or the reader may still ask. Who else would like to share on that paragraph?
Carol G., Illinois.
Jennifer C.
Sandy V. from California.
Sandy, what was your initial, Sandy?
C. V is in Victor.
V, okay.
Sandy S.
Jennifer C. from Greenville.
I got you, Jennifer. I got Sandy V, Sandy S. And who came in after Sandy S?
Patricia Ann from Florida.
Okay, I heard Patricia. What was your initial, Patricia?
Patricia Ann M.
N as in Nancy, M as in Mary?
M as in Mary, yes.
Okay, and then did someone come in after you, Patricia?
Sophie V.
Was it Sophie? Is that Sophie? I think it was Sophie Z. Okay, let's stop right there, okay? See if we can get everyone in. So I have Carol G, Jennifer C, Sandy V, Sandy S, Patricia N, M, and I think it was Sophie Z. So go ahead, please, Carol. Good morning. Okay, I'm hearing a lot of noise, but I'm not hearing a voice. Are you there, Carol? Star one to unmute. Okay, I'm going to come back to you. Oh, there you are. Are you there?
Sorry, yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
I kind of marvel at the restraint that they had when they wrote this. That's what's so beautiful about this. They don't stuff it down your throat, which, excuse the pun. They kind of let people come to their own realization, their own experience. So all I could say is, to me, this is a small paragraph, but it's probably extremely meaningful, and probably it's the whole basis for our program, or any 12-step program, is that there is a power greater than us, and that power is the source of everything. And through program, I have to say, I've gotten to the point where I know that it is my source, and I can go there at any time to get replenished. And that's the beauty of this program. I don't have to go to the food for my needs. All I have to do is go to my higher power. And higher power can talk and communicate with me, with us, in so many ways, in every possible way. Synchronicity, fellows, sponsors, sponsees, saying something that higher power wants us to hear. I hear whispering in my ear about what is the next right thing to do. And I'm just so very grateful that I'm seeing this as the way that I'm supposed to live my life. And from what I've heard, a lot of yogis and saints were trying to get to this place, or were at this place. And here we are, just regular people. And because of a 12-step program, we can learn the secret about how to live. So thanks for listening, and I'm so glad that Vision is here. Thank you.
Thank you, Carol G. in Illinois. And Jennifer C., you are up, followed by Sandy B. Good morning, Jennifer. Star one to unmute, Jennifer.
Hi, good morning. This is Jennifer C. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can.
Okay, wonderful. This is Jennifer calling from Greenville, South Carolina. Thank you so much, everyone, for your shares. So the reader may ask why he should believe in a power greater than himself. The reality of my life today is that with or without compulsive overeating, like, I need to be saved. I need saving. That's why I have to believe in a power greater than myself. I need to be saved. And what this book tells me is that this quicksand that I'm in, this horrific quicksand of compulsive overeating, this debilitating and humiliating addiction to food is actually not the quicksand, right? This book tells me that the quicksand is the bondage of self. That's what I ultimately need to be saved from. I'm in this quicksand of self, and if I'm not saved from it, I'm going to die. And so I have to be saved from a self-centered way of thinking and a self-centered way of living, because it's the only thing I know. It's the only, you know, as horrific as this quicksand is, it's my comfort, right? I've been in it for how many years? So what this program teaches me is that I need salvation on such a deep level, or I will kill myself with food without an act of providence. And that's what forces me to face this desperate need is the food. But this book tells me that this is a need that touches every person, right? Every person could benefit from this process is what this book tells me, every single person. And when I pray for other people in my 10th step, I pray for them as sick people. Why? Because we all need saving, right? But because of my addiction to food, I am forced. I'm in this very distinct entity that forces me to live in utter dependence on a power greater than myself. So here's this hand, right, capital H, that is reaching out to save me. And it's there whether I reach for it or not. But this book is telling me that if I don't reach for it, I'm going to go under. Whether quickly or slowly, I am completely doomed. That's what this book tells me. I am in the quicksand of self, and I will die in it unless an act of providence saves me. And this book tells me that that very act of providence is standing right there with his arm reached out to pull me out of this quicksand through this program. And you are all that hand that God is using to save each other. And I am so thankful for this program and these steps, that this way of life that I get to learn how to live in, this truly spiritual way of life. I used to think I was spiritual, but this program teaches me a truly spiritual way of life. And the truth is this, because I'm in this quicksand and this distinct entity, there is nothing else that will satisfy except for this relationship with power. Thanks for letting me share.
And thank you, Jennifer C. in South Carolina. And good morning, Sandy B. You're up, followed by Sandy S.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your service. And wow, thank you for all the powerful shares and for all of you that are listening. I have to say that at 72 years of age, this program has been incredible for me. It's the second time I'm going through the steps, and I have a new sponsor. And I found that it's just going deeper and deeper and deeper. And I'm following through on what she recommends, and I'm finding my relationship with God is getting so deep. And in areas that I thought for sure that I would never hear what the next right action would be, because I had so many voices floating around in my head, and I'm really seeing a power now of like God's arms just outstretched, ready to love me. And I realize that all I have to do is take the time to write, do my assignments, and listen, and just take time with God. it dawned on me so many times I would end up worrying more than I would praying or wanting to listen to God. And I find the thing that gives me the greatest peace is that this morning I soaked my feet for an hour in hot Epsom salt in a little tub. And that time was so amazing because I was allowing God to speak to me and my emotions. I wrote everything out and I felt grounded. And I remember before I raised my three daughters alone from the time they were 2, 3, and 5, and they're now 39, 42, and one daughter is 40 today. And I've got 6 grandkids, and I remember my youngest daughter would say as I would babysit, "You eat everything in sight here." And I thought because I ate things and I hid the wrappers or put them in my purse that she wouldn't know, but she did. And it wasn't about the weight. It was about emotionally what I'm doing. And that's where actually reaching, you know, doing step 10, giving step 10, listening to step 10s, and giving mine is helping me to go right to the root, right to the very core of my being. And helping me, God is helping me through all of you to unravel the emotions that were just tied up in knots that caused health problems and a variety of other things. And so I'm very grateful to be in the program. I'm very grateful to understand. I'm grateful to understand that no one can be put in the place of God and no one can fill that hole, not a sponsor, not anyone. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Sandy V in California. And Sandy S, you are up, followed by Patricia NM. Go ahead, Sandy. Good morning.
Hi, this is Sandy S from Asheville, North Carolina. Geez, I feel so emotional that I have to like actually read the paragraph out loud. The reader may still ask why you should believe in a power greater than himself. We think there are good reasons. Let us have a look at some of them. So I just want to say I am a doubter and a seeker at the same time, and the foundation of my program is absolute honesty, to really tell the truth. And something just came into my life this morning that is so an incredible opportunity, but extremely painful and scary. One of my grandkids, not biological, I never had kids, always wanted kids, is really experiencing incredible agitation, suicidal thoughts, and has the most wonderful parents, you know, and she's 12. And her mom, you know, just talked to me for about an hour. You know, she shared it with very few people. And I'm in a unique position to be helpful, to just be there for them, to do errands or whatever it takes to take the load. It's a very healthy family. My husband's very healthy. His kids are very healthy. And I don't know what happened biologically with his granddaughter, but just like I don't know what biologically happened to me. But the thing that scares me the most is that I won't be capable of being a loving person, that my inner agitation, not the food anymore, will interfere with that. And I did a 10-step and I thought, what would God have me be? And God would have me be very honest. Like, I really doubt myself. We talk about the bondage of self, self-doubt. And what else would God have me be trusting? And then just do the next baby step. So the next baby step was just sharing this, sharing it on the line. And when I get off, I have to do some stuff in my business that's very hard. And that's the next step, and to bring God into that, and to bring whatever God is, I have no idea. But I do know one thing, God got me abstinent. And for a long time, I have had total freedom from compulsive overeating. Not freedom from fear. Every single day I have the fear, but every single day I have a choice, and that's to ask God's help. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Sandy S. in North Carolina. And Patricia N. M., you're up, followed by Sophie Z. Go ahead, please.
Thank you. This is Patricia Ann in Florida. The reader may still ask why he should believe in a power greater than himself. All I know for me is that a power, my best thinking got me, oh my God, eating myself to death, my best thinking. So if I don't believe in a power greater than myself, then how am I ever going to get out of the thinking? How am I going to change without a power greater than myself? Why? He still may ask why he should believe. You know, my thinking is, why shouldn't I believe? If I could get out of it myself, I wouldn't need God, and I couldn't get out of it myself, and I knew that, and I know that to this day. One thing, too, that I know is that if I don't partner up with him, that he's not going to just do it. I mean, he struck me abstinent. Yes. However, but I still have to do the deal. I have to pray when I get tempted. I have to pray when I want to eat my brains out. I have to pray. I have to do the deal. I can't just expect him to take this and me not do my part. I surrender, but in my surrendering, as I raise my white flag, he takes my hand. And we do this together. It's a partnership. And I have to be in a relationship with him. I can't just, you know, do this genie thing and God just take this and then poof, it's gone. For me, I tried that. I did. It's like, you know, this is your thorn in the flesh. Well, okay, then take this thorn. And no, unless I do the deal, stay on my food plan, weigh and measure my food, do the deal with him, I need that power to do this, though. I've tried to do this diet with group support. I've done that. And I was abstinent for 2 years, but you know what? It didn't stay. It didn't stay because my disease says, oh, look, you've had 2 years. Now you can have this. So now you've gone 2 years without that. You could surely have Sub-C. You're not craving now. You know, 3 days later, look, you had that 3 days ago. You're not craving. My disease played a heavy game on me. And, you know, God, lest God build my house, I labor in vain, lest he changes me. But I still have to partner up with him. I still have my part to play. You know, he is miraculous, absolutely. But if I don't surrender and let it and know that my best thinking got me here, that I can't rely on my thinking, if I don't really understand that, then I'm going to go back out. Because the pain in my life has gotten so bad that the food is the comfort. The pain is so great. Yes. And thank you. And I pass.
Thank you, Patricia Ann M. in Florida. And Sophie Z., you have about 2 minutes, if you wouldn't mind cutting your share to 2 minutes so we can end on time. Go ahead, Sophie.
Hi, that's fine. Thank you. So my name is Sophie Z. I'm a compulsive overeater. That's not my background, like, you know where it's coming from. But anyhow, okay, so this reading, you know, quite short, but it there's a lot of meaning in it. So, you know, why should he still believe in a power greater than himself? So I'll just say for me, my experience, I came into this program a religious person. Practicing religion for years. And the definition of religious, I'm looking it up right now, is relating to or believing in a religion. And what this made me realize is that I related to the religion, I believed in the religion, but I had no higher power, which is incredible because I was a robot for years. And being that robot got me into so much trouble. Being that robot got me to 300 pounds. Being that robot got me into arguments with everyone in my family, got me to a divorce, got me to countless other difficulties in life. And today I choose to no longer be that robot, to connect with my higher power in every instance of my life, to turn over any difficulties, or even things that are easier or things that I'm happy about. I turn it over to God with my gratitude when I'm happy. And when I have difficulties and hardships, I turn it over with a 10th step with my inventory. And I am so blessed to have this program because today I can live a life and not be a robot. And, you know, like we said, I'll keep it short. So I'm grateful to be here. And with that, I pass. And it's Sophie Z in Montreal, Canada. Thank you.
And thank you, Sophie Z in Canada. And we are now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So, Betsy H., will you please read a vision for you?
Yes, thank you. Betsy H., cover compulsive reader in California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you'll surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.